More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. Back in February, Olympic hopeful Bridie Farrell shook up the speed skating world with an interview on this program in which she related her story of sexual abuse committed by a former teammate early in her career. The interview and subsequent allegations from other skaters resulted in the resignation of Andy Gable from the International Skating Union and an investigation that is still underway by U.S. Speed Skating. Farrell had been training out at Milwaukee's Pettit National Ice Center, but when we caught up with her for an update on her story, we reached her by phone from Salt Lake City, home of the only other indoor speed skating oval in the country. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me back.
We are talking with you virtually today. When we last talked, you were right here in the studio with us, but since then you've moved your training operations to Salt Lake City, where that's where the only other indoor oval in the country is. What prompted the move?
Well, quite a few things. I started my comeback in Milwaukee last year, and then this season the Olympic trials are in Salt Lake City. So I think it's important for me to be here and acclimate to the altitude, get used to the track. The ice surfaces are different, so it's really good to be able to train on the ice where I'm going to have to ultimately have my best race. So for those reasons, I decided to really pick up training this season out here in Salt Lake.
Now, for most people who don't necessarily speed skate, you know, they see the oval at the Pettit, and they might imagine the Utah Olympic Oval. How are the ice surfaces different?
Well, altitude makes a big difference on the ice in terms of how fast the skater can go. They say actually it's more a difference of the resistance you're going to get from the air than the actual ice. So it's faster at altitude, the ice, but then also the air is thinner, so it's harder to breathe. That's a huge difference. And then also, when you're at the elite level, so much of it is mental preparation and things of that nature. So having complete awareness and knowing my surroundings going into the competition, I think, will be something that will be an asset to me as well.
And so what does your training regimen look like these days?
It's pretty tough. The training is, I skate every day, a couple days a week. I skate twice a day. And there's also a lot of off-ice training that I'm doing, a lot of skating-specific training. And as we're now into the racing season, we're racing every weekend in preparation of those Olympic trials.
Well, and so this is all, as it was when we first talked, with an aim towards making the Olympic long track team. So what do you see as the process between now and when that team roster is finalized?
A lot of hard work in the next few months. We have a competition in the fall that's the main competition, and then that'll help to prepare me for what I need to change going into the Olympic trials. I kind of look at the next 2 months of training as the next block or the final block and phase before those trials. And I have been training hard, but I think the on-ice specificity of it will change a bit as well. So lots of laps specific for my event, which is the 3,000 meter.
You have been very, very close to making the Olympic team on several occasions before. Do you think the experience of going through that process and knowing how it can hinge on, you know, a little thing here or a little thing there helps you be more prepared for this trip down the road or around the oval?
I think that my experience is racing short track at the Olympic trials and at World Championships and World Cups definitely will help me going into these trials, in that I have skated in pretty high pressure situations. And quite frankly, the short track team, two of them that I tried out for, there was a lot of pressure and expectation for me to make the team. Where here, I don't think that I have that same level of pressure and expectation. So I think that those previous performances will definitely help me. I also think that the time away from skating and just having a different perspective of the whole thing helps a lot too. I mean, when I'm at the rink, I skate hard, but it's nice to have other things going on in my life and realizing that there's so much more than just life in the skating rink.
This is obviously getting to be crunch time. The last time we spoke, you were also holding down a job. Does that go by the wayside when the Olympics are approaching?
No. I still work full time as an agent with New York Life, and I work out of my office, which is in New York City, above Grand Central, actually. And I do a lot of conferencing over the mail and over the phone with clients. But no, I mean, I am a comeback athlete, and I want to make this team. but I'm not funded by the U.S. Olympic Committee or U.S. Speed Skating or any sponsors. Like, I am my sponsor. And so it's a very, very expensive dream I'm chasing. I've had to continue to work full-time while training full-time.
And as someone who is your own sponsor, you're working full-time, you're training full-time, and you're also basically fundraising for yourself, if not full-time, certainly part of the time.
Yeah, exactly. I guess in a way I'm lucky in that I truly love skating and speed skating and ice skating, but I also really, really love my work in the financial services industry and field. And so whatever I'm doing either, it's both of them are hard and both of them are work, but as cliche as it sounds, like, I truly enjoy it. So I'm lucky to have found something that I love to do that much.
It was, of course, not just speed skating we have talked about in the past. In the studio here in Milwaukee, you related your story of sexual abuse by your former teammate and mentor, Andy Gabel, on this show. A lot has happened in the intervening months. Has that very public nature of the story, plus the passage of the time since then, has it made your difficult history any less of a challenge to your training now?
Been a really wild road since I came forward with my story with you and on Lake Effect. I would say that's almost my third full-time job, is this role of advocacy that I didn't know would really emerge, but has. I mean, people know who I am in the skating ring partially because of that story, but it's been a shock for everyone else to hear the story because I kept it a secret and I didn't tell anyone. But I had been dealing with it for 15 years prior to telling you. So for me, it hasn't really changed a ton. I mean, it's nice that it's not a huge secret and a big burden that I'm carrying. It's been so rewarding to hear all the people that have felt comfortable enough coming forward and telling me their horrific stories and how much my story has helped them.
There have also been, in the time since we talked, some changes in the governing body of speed skating in this country. You're right there in Utah, where U.S. speed skating is based. Are you seeing changes? And what changes would you still like to see?
I would say that I have made an effort to kind of stay out of the politics that happened in U.S. speed skating. They switched a lot of staff members, and the board changed last spring. I know there's a new executive director, and I've met with him and spoken with him, and he seems like a good guy, a reasonable guy, wants to do the right thing for the sport, level-headed. So I think that things are moving in the right direction. I mean, there's definitely some changes that have to be made. Yeah, I mean, I don't know specifics of the ins and outs enough to say I think X, Y, and Z should change. The only thing that I have vocalized is how the process of speaking about sexual abuse in the sport should change. One, I don't think Andy should be in the Hall of Fame, and I don't think he should have a lifetime membership to U.S. speed skating. U.S. speed skating said that they're conducting an investigation, and that investigation is still ongoing. However, if you look at, like, the rules from Title IX or a typical school system, you have to have these reports and filings back within 60 to 90 days, and it's been well past that. So, I mean, there's a lot of room for improvement. They have a lot on their plate, although sexual abuse is heinous and so offensive that it should be something that's a priority, and it doesn't seem to be. So how those changes are done or what they do with that, I'm not involved in. And my goal and my purpose here is skating, but there's definitely improvement to be made in that area.
Well, and I would imagine there's only so much politics you would want to get involved with while you're in the process, while you have these full-time jobs of working and trying to make the Olympic team.
Exactly. And I don't know how much I want to be involved at all, but my story has gotten me involved in different ways. But wherever I can be helpful in that area, whether it's telling my story or my experiences or the process of coming forward or how the case is handled, has been handled, I'm happy to do that. But for now, my role in speed skating is that of a speed skater.
Well, and so before you go for right now, we'll mm-hmm. want to check in with you later on between now and the Olympic trials. But how did you end up with a cameo appearance in Apple Computer's October keynote?
So I was in the Apple keynote because Dartfish Express was one of the featured apps. And it's an app that I use all the time for training. You can use it to video and then do slow-mo. And you can, so in the, if you look at it, like my Facebook page, you can see me drawing an angle on my body. And so I use Starfish all the time. And when they won or were honored in some competition of top athletic apps, the owner and founder of the company asked if I would be the athlete in the commercial.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah, it was very cool, but it's nothing as cool as being on Lake Effect.
Well, Bridie Farrell, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Skate really fast, would you?
Thanks so much, and thanks for your time, Mitch, and I do miss Milwaukee.
Bridie Farrell has moved her training from Milwaukee to Salt Lake City as she tries to make the U.S. Olympic long track speed skating team at the 2014 Winter Olympics. You'll find links to more about her effort from WUWM.com/Lake Effect. One last break, and then Milwaukee area writer and Lake Effect contributor Barry Whiteman stops by to chat about his recent novel playing out during a pivotal period for rock and roll. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.